Are you at a crossroads in life with unanswered questions? How does your past connect to your present life? October Hallam can help you discover how your past connects to your present and is shaping your future. October is an intuitive, healer, empath, and medium with over 20 years of experience helping people navigate through some of life's greatest challenges. A recent client from Egypt says, "October is pure magic. We keep coming back for more," and recommended her to our closest friends. If you would like to book a session with October, please contact her at theancientgift222@gmail.com. Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Brandon Thomas. Before we bring him on, I have a couple of announcements. This summer, as you know, we will be filming a documentary. We're going to be traveling the country, interviewing all your favorite people, authors, researchers, podcasters. This is a big project, and we need your help. We're going to jump into it just like we did with this show, and hopefully the universe and all of you will help a little bit. If you'd like to help out by leaving a donation, we have a Buy Me a Coffee or PayPal option. You can go to supportfkn.com or click the PayPal link. Anything is greatly appreciated and will help tremendously. We're going to cover all the awesome topics that I talk about here, and you're definitely going to enjoy what we have planned. We want to be able to come out to as many states as possible and talk with as many of you as possible and even have you be a part of it. If you'd like to get involved with the production, email me, forbiddenknowledgenews@gmail.com. Also, if you make a donation of any amount through supportfkn.com, you're also going to get access to select chapters from Corey Hughes' upcoming book about the JFK assassination. They got some banging stuff in there, guys. Forbidden Knowledge News is always available on Rockfin, Minds, Odyssey, Rumble, and all podcast platforms. We really don't count on being on YouTube much longer. We're just waiting for the day we go there, and our count isn't there anymore. But we've got so many other options for you to get all our content, such as Rockfin. Rockfin's where you get all our premium content. You also get all the amazing content and premium content from all the creators on Rockfin, just like Brandon Thomas here. Just go to rockfin.com/fknplus, or you can click the link in the description to sign up. Our website is forbiddenknowledge.news. It's also the home of the Forbidden Knowledge Network. We feature awesome podcasts on there. All those links are right there in the description. Finally, check out our friends at C60 Purple Power. C60 may be the most powerful antioxidant known to man. The benefits have been personally outstanding. I continue to feel great, and I haven't had a cold or sniffles or anything since I've been taking C60 over 2 years ago. Just click the link in the description to see what they have, and you can get 10% off your order plus free shipping. Today, I want to welcome back to the show Brandon Thomas. He is producer and host of Expanding Reality Podcast. He is a seeker, philosopher, musician, rancher, avid idea hunter, and lover of all things fascinating. Brandon, welcome back. How you doing, brother?
Dude, every day above ground's a great day, man. Could not be happier than to be sitting right here with you on 420, dude. Looking good, as always, Chris. Thank you so much, man.
Oh, man. Thank you. The check is in the mail for that, of course.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Yeah.
Yes, and like you said, today is the 420 show. Now, I know that there are those out there that celebrate today as a holiday. For me, it's just another day. Weed is part of my normal day anyway. Hell, I'm not even sure what 420 means anymore, and I really don't care. That being said, smoke them if you got them. Today we will get into some really high strangeness for sure.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Brandon, as a reminder, it's been a little while since you've been on. I'd remind the audience what got you started with Expanding Reality.
Yeah, just like you said, Secret, man, I've been on this ride, really got kicked off with psychedelics, spirituality, and conspiracy theories, kind of got introduced to those in the same year and a half time period early on in my life, right at the age of 18, 2001. And since then, just been on a quest to just figure out what the hell's going on here. And the more doors I open, the more there are to open. So I just started the show as a way to kind of talk to a few, honestly, just a couple of UFO authors that I'd found interesting throughout the years and that you'd interviewed, because I've been a listener of yours for a long time. And just wanted to talk to some of those dudes and gals and find out what was going on. And then it expanded into this huge thing. And that's why I wanted to make sure I left it open, because I have a wide variety of interests. And so I really want to take a look at everything. It's pretty much about everything but sports. And just because I just don't follow it, man, that's about it. But that's usually the only thing off the table. But it's an awesome gig, man. And I'm having a blast. And it just expands my mind and my reality all the time. So it's great.
Man, that's so awesome. I love hearing stuff like that. I remember when I first started doing this, like 2016, 2017, when I started as a blog, there was so little great podcasts you could listen to that cover stuff like this. You had like the Higher Side Chats, you had Leak Project, Coast to Coast, you know, some of the big ones. But other than that, it's like you had to search for great content. And now, there's so much, dude. Your show, my show, all these wonderful up-and-coming podcasts that cover, they get into some deep stuff, man. And like, it's amazing to see what's happening. And it's so encouraging to see that so many people are looking at this as the new form of entertainment, right?
Yeah, interestainment is what I call it, because it's interestaining. You know, You'll find something that you didn't know about. And if nothing else, it'll just make you think. Like, that's it. You know, a lot of people get hung up on the wall. You can't prove via. Well, it doesn't matter, man. There's a lot of shit you can't prove. Gravity's still unprovable. They don't know what the fuck lightning is. So there's a lot of things that aren't provable here that you're just fine with just believing in anyway. So maybe just take the story at face value and open your mind a little bit. Take yourself out of your day to day. And that's kind of the mission for sure for me on here, because it's like, I've always said, I don't know what the hell's going on, first of all. So I'm just going to put that caveat out there. But I do like discussing the possibilities. So I'm not, you know, out to prove myself right or anyone else wrong. That is just not my vibe. I'm just here to talk about it. And it's all fascinating to me.
Right on, man, for sure. Before we get into some of the stuff I have on my list, what's your favorite topic so far, or topics that you've been covering since you got started?
Definitely anything non-human intelligence. I mean, all the good stuff, dude. All the reasons, you know, you tuned into Coast to Coast. And my wife and I, early on in our relationship, we've been together 12 years, married for almost 8. And we used to go on road trips down to Houston. And that's about a 4.5-5 hour drive from where we are one way. And so we would go down there, like, for Christmas and stuff. That's where my folks stay. So we would make those road trips and listen to Coast to Coast. So all of the greats, man. Like, Jonathan Gray, do you remember that guy? And he talked about Oopahs, the Australian. Dude, God. I mean, that dude, as well as like all the stories of like Darren Kuyu and then Coral Castle and all of these mysterious ancient monolithic sites, of course, and then alternative histories, of course, non-human intelligences. I'm really into the interdimensional thing, tying everything to quantum physics and seeing that, you know, time travel and interdimensional travel kind of marry well together. And, you know, what the hell are these ETs or whatever? What's going on? Same shape of the Earth, man. I'm still not convinced it's a ball. I'm not convinced it's flat either. But, you know, it just, like I said, I'm open to all of it. And I think that that's, you know, the way I've chosen to kind of approach the next steps in my life. And it's served me well, man.
Right on, man. I want to welcome all the audience in the chat. If you guys want to join in the conversation, leave a question, comment. Go feel free to do so. We're going to get to those as soon as we can. And it is 420 day, once again, so smoke them if you got them. I know we are. All right, let's start out with one of the, you know, big ones that, of course, got me into it. But not only got me into it, it was a childhood fascination. Extraterrestrials, UFOs. Mm. My favorite movies and shows were about aliens and, you know, invasions and UFOs and other intelligences. And when I first started going down rabbit holes, this was a big one for me. What? Okay, so thinking about the time you started looking into UFOs and aliens, how has your perception of what they are changed since then?
Oh God, tremendously! It's changed since yesterday. I talked to Greg Sullivan. He's the director and I guess he organized the whole thing of Jay Setti over in Japan. Amazing dude. Met him through Xiao Ma. Unbelievable guy. So he does these retreats and stuff. So I had him for an interview last night. It won't be out for a little bit. But my mind changed from that conversation to now. He was talking even about how, you start with the nuts and bolts stuff, I guess, is to answer your question directly. You start with, they're cool. They're spaceships. They're coming from other planets. They're physically traversing, the distances in the galaxy that we're told exist. And that's the only answer for it. Now, we don't know how they do that. And then you go up to, wormholes. And then you start kind of expanding the physics of your mind a little bit. And then you're just like, okay, well, what's their civilization like? And so then you travel to that place mentally. But, man, over that time period, it's gone from that to all and everything in between. They're crypto-terrestrials. They've been here the whole time. Maybe kind of like Ryan Musgrave Evans talks about that, they've been frozen here and then they come out and then, are now taking over or something like that. Then you get into Hollow Earth stuff, which I absolutely love. And so they've been living here the whole time, just like the Admiral Byrd story and countless others. And then you go to... it's all our stuff. It's all U.S. stuff or, the militaries of the world. And then there's nothing out there. It's all here. And then that ties in, of course, to the flat earth thing. So now you're trying to work in this E.T. presence with a new possibility of the shape of this earth or the planet or whatever. And so you really kind of script these paradigms around kind of new information that you come across just to ponder. We're not planting flags anywhere. But then also, then you go to interdimensional stuff, like Paul Askoff's work. Had him on, he wrote a book, great book, UFOs, The Real Story, Under Flying Disc Press. Could not recommend it more. And then also you get to time travel, with Dr. Michael P. Masters. And you talk about this, time travel stuff, like us from the future, or like a Mark Olley. He talks about that they were actually in our ancient past, and he relates kind of the elongated skulls and all that kind of stuff. And that's the kind of stuff I absolutely love, is the more you look at what it could be, the more things it could be, which is fascinating.
Definitely. All right, let's break down some of those possible theories you were talking about. First one, I didn't hear you really list this one, but the ancient alien theory that we were created by these beings. They tinkered with hominid and maybe their own DNA and made a new type of species. They called humans, and from these mythos like the Sumerians, there was probably a lot of mistakes made and maybe some chimeras along the way and not exactly humans. But what do you think about that theory?
I think that one's super interesting. It kind of leads then to the prison planet idea, and this would kind of lend to, well, why are we getting abducted or some people getting snatched up? Well, they could be kind of like improving on their work or checking on their work or something like that. Like we're theirs essentially, and there's just some sort of program going on. But this hybrid idea is very interesting. Now, again, back to Greg Sullivan, he was even introducing me to the idea that extraterrestrials can transmit their consciousness into physical bodies. You know how in a lot of accounts, and I know you've heard this, that people tell us that the grays that they encounter refer to humans as vessels. Have you ever heard people say that?
I have heard that before.
Yeah, and so if you think about it from that way, what he's talking about then is that kind of, you can picture like the Mr. Smith idea in this reality, but also in like the Matrix, where those Smiths can take over any body and just shift it and completely shift that into whatever they want it to be. So this could be kind of an artifact of this experience, and maybe extraterrestrials or non-human intelligences have like a super strong control on this place, and it is very tight. And who's to say that there aren't like only maybe 100,000 people actually here? Everyone else is just these characters that these extraterrestrials inhabiting bodies or vessels, as they refer to them, are, and keeping this like 3D matrix narrative going. Perhaps like that's what's going on, and there's a few, a very small percentage, maybe the 144,000 that a lot of religious teachings talk about, several actually. Dolores Cannon's work even talks about the 144,000 coming back here to raise the vibration of the planet at this time, which we're in that time now. So you could think of this as like they're being able to inhabit human beings on a physical level consciously. But then there's another level to hybridization, which is, of course, the physical transplanting of DNA, the cross-splicing of different genetic qualities, and then them taking sperm and eggs from humans and then later getting abducted and coming out and presented with this baby that they're told is theirs that's clearly an extraterrestrial. This physical hybridization program. And who knows what that's for? Maybe they're cranking up all the crazy stuff here to terraform this place, to make it more suitable for them. And then they're kind of meeting us in the middle, You know, when you think about hybridization that way, it's like they're higher dimensional beings coming here. Well, to exist in this physical place, you need a vessel. You know, that's like what we are. And so this third dimensional plane is a vessel. Maybe they figured out a way to implant their consciousness into what we call a gray, or these automatons, as they're also kind of viewed as. And then they just kind of can be here at a level and then raise us to their level and then take DNA and then kind of marry these species together to where they can exist in this place. And that might be a way of them infiltrating a dimension in which they're not really able to inhabit, but they've kind of figured it out.
Yes, that's a good point. And Ashley in the chat says the NPC and yes. The early 90s movie, The Faculty. Yeah, that was a good movie.
Good call.
For sure.
Good throwback.
Yeah, you mentioned another thing that I want to kind of explore is that they could be us from the future. One of the things I've been thinking about recently is the transhuman movement and how we're deliberately being pushed in certain aspects to alter ourselves and integrate ourselves with technology. We see people already trying to alter their appearance to look like aliens and different types of non-human creatures. Now, if you think of the aliens are us from the future, they may be coming back to warn us, don't cut your dick off, guys. We still need that in the future. We're going to want that back later. You know, don't make your eyes into these big bulbous. You know, it's a possibility. What do you think about that?
I love it. They kind of step back in like, hey, you guys are going to come up with a plan here in a little bit. Don't do it. Just trust me. We wasted all the energy on time travel just to do this one jump to tell you, hang on to the dongs, guys. You know, you're going to regret
Please
it.
Please hang on to the dongs.
Yeah, just hang on to the dongs. It's going to be okay. It is interesting. And to what you said about people physically altering themselves, I mean, you say like, you know, blue and spikes, and I've seen all of that kind of stuff with the eyes and tattoos and things, but really the scarier one is all the standard of beauty that you see with people like all the Hollywood people that we like grew up with. I get everybody gets old and they're like that, but dude, these augmentations,
they look like fucking aliens. I know what you're talking
about. Fucking aliens, dude. It's even worse. It's like they're mimicking what they think aliens should look like, and we're kind of being mind fucked into thinking that this is the new beauty standard. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because they're saying this person is beautiful. Oh, this person is beautiful. I don't give a fuck what you say. John Legend's wife is not attractive to me at all. And I'm just going to say that. Plus, they're all pedophiles and stuff. But anyway, right. It just doesn't appeal to me at all. And my wife and I sit there and just look at this stuff and just go, what the hell are these people doing? But they're augmenting themselves in these ways, again, that just kind of, I don't know, perturb the standard of beauty that they're trying to portray. But it's obviously not.
Yeah, that brings me to what these are, not only what these are, but the implications of spiritual aspects and moral aspects and trying to maybe alter humanity in certain ways and push our consciousness to go in certain directions, whether it's good or bad. And it makes me wonder, are there multiple factions doing this? Is this one trickster entity or one entity trying to help us learn with a dualistic nature? It's very interesting, and that brings in the spiritual aspects and how many people have experiences. Many people grow spiritually and go on to do great things and get amazing information from whatever entities that they're either interacting with or have downloads from. And then we have the other side, like you said, these people getting plastic surgery and they're big icons and they're trying to push to the consciousness that you want to look like an alien or chop your dick off, you know? So yeah. What do you think about that?
It's a clear mindfuck. I mean, it always is, right? But to the possibilities part of this, this is the part I live in, man. And so with one of the ways that I've been thinking about this place is like Westworld. And a lot of people have made this comparison, but I really thought about this. It's like we're all just playing roles here, you know? So again, back to the vessel idea. If that holds true, again, you are a consciousness inhabiting a vessel as well. You're just less aware of it. You know what I mean? And so, but that reasoning in my mind says that you're here as a participant in some sort of exercise, some sort of game, some sort of growth experiment, just some sort of vacation perhaps, and that your only role here is to just touch, smell, taste, see, and hear every damn thing you can before you go and live it up and not take it too seriously. But your job here is to figure out that you're the actor, not the role that you're playing in the play. It's all a huge play. So then when, again, we're talking about consciousness hijacking, walk-ins spiritually, all of those kind of concepts, then it would make more sense then that these are just avatars and that this is just like a ride. And there's a line for this you know, an avatar like this at some other dimension somewhere that you, you know, pay for, sign up for, volunteer for, get voluntold, you have to go do, depending on your perception, if you think this is some sort of punishment. I don't lean that direction, but, you know, some people would view this as some sort of punishment. So there's that idea. Then in that case, then, because we're super unaware of it and you're told that you have to forget to have the experience, then it tells me that, like I said, it's all some huge play. And some people are very aware that this is a play and they know exactly how to play it. And they kind of steer things in a narrative or direction that they want to for control. And we know who we're talking about. Now, this could be like hijacked from other entities. Maybe people have figured this out. Maybe that's what this all is. There are some people who talk about the idea that all, you know, planets are supposed to be in this fifth dimension or this higher consciousness, but to that what's happened here is this 3D projection reality has been filtered over this place by a huge projector, and we would call that the moon, you know. So there's this interesting correlation that we're supposed to be in this super utopia thing. We're just kind of in this fog of an illusion, this great deception that they talk about, you know.
Yeah, I love that. That's really interesting. And it brings whole new outlooks to the concepts of good and evil and even the misconception or deception of heaven and hell. And, I want to get into some of those spiritual aspects of it, especially when you look at good and evil. If we are just here to have an experience and learn, is evil, you know, just as much a part of our experience as good? And is it really evil? Is it something that we're being punished for? Or is it something we're punishing ourselves for because we're learning that those concepts affect our reincarnation, our karma, things that help us develop. And that's a whole part of our experience here. And heaven and hell is just something that was introduced to, you know, of course, keep us in a lower state of vibration. What do you think about that?
I think yes to all points, actually. All of it's absolutely possible. I think that the concepts of heaven and hell, first of all, are either misunderstandings and misguidances or deliberate cover-ups, which I'm with you on. I definitely think the hell one is, and probably the heaven one as well, because it probably started out as just this awesome heaven place, this truth, and then, of course, got co-opted and corrupted into this, you get the cool place, but there's this awful place that you go to if you don't give me money and you don't listen to me and all that good stuff. So that's definitely part of this, and that is absolutely low vibration. But like this place, your job is to figure that out. And some people figure it out, and some people don't. But again, maybe there's only like 50 people here, you know, and all of the other ones are like NPCs and shit, you know. Who knows? Like you, Chris, you're probably the only one here. The egg has this idea spiritually, but if you look at it as some sort of mechanism, then yeah, you could be the only one, and everyone else is playing this elaborate role as some sort of like, you know, Truman Show or something like that.
Could be. Now, if you look at the concept of heaven and hell for a second, I'm starting to believe more and more that if you look at the phrases like the kingdom of heaven and is within, we need to start looking at that. Because I think, like you said, it may be if it is about just our experience. And if what we experience is what some would perceive as an evil life, and we consider ourselves to be evil, then maybe the afterlife is a punishment just from ourselves, you know, from our own consciousness, because we considered that to be evil. But on the other hand, somebody else may have done the same actions and thought they were doing a greater good for humanity, and they go to a heavenly state. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think it's all absolutely possible. I think you are far more powerful than you really know, and that we really remember. I will put it that way. So there's a couple of ways I look at this. This place is just kind of a round one game thing, where you pop in, you get to play whatever character you want, you have the experience that you want, and then you zip off to go be a Pleiadian. Like in a picture, like an amusement park, to where Earth is just a ride. You know, it's just like that Roy on Rick and Morty, where he puts the helmet on, and they go through this whole thing, and it's a whole lifetime, but it's only been minutes, you know, for Morty. And so maybe it's something like that. Or you have the option, like I said, to go be a Pleiadian. Now, if you try and say that there's some place that you go to, that the place that you go to is determined upon the choices that you make here, in parentheses I will put, with limited information, where your own perspective, where we probably all don't live in the same reality anyway, and it's asinine, you can't control factors and variables no matter how well of your discernment is. So the idea that your eternity can be determined in this way immediately I call bullshit on, but you guys, you know, you do you. But with this idea, then the thing I've been thinking about really lately, to what you said, because you're absolutely right, there are some people that will cross over indie East style, come back and say, oh my God, it was hell and I was burning in flames, and then they turn their life around and it turned out to be a good thing for them. A lot of other people, that's a very small majority, a lot of other people say it's absolutely amazing and wonderful, which again leads to this idea that whatever you do here doesn't determine where you go. There's either only one place to go, or it's an illusion that what you do here affects the other. So what I've been thinking lately, just kind of as a thought experiment, of course, is that how you perceive this world and what you do in this life vibrationally is what greets you in the next one. So this is also, like, let's say an option. So you could ride the ride once, or you could get the weekend spa package, you know, and you can go and you can have multiple lifetimes to where you kind of hop in and out as this continuation of life, so you can actually see in bite-sized increments how you've affected change on the planet, or how the planet's changed around you, right? So let's say that you've been, you know, some Japanese samurai, you know, about 2,000 years ago, and then you've been continuing lives up to this time, and now you're Chris Matthew running this dope-ass show, and that's what your deal is now. So you could be doing this, or you could create a hell after this, you know, vibrationally. Again, whatever you go into your next life as is where you start the next one, if this package is something you checked on a box in the other dimension. So it could be also that what you do here creates your next one. Let's say we're all here just taking notes, and you get the same parameters with the same things as you create it when you spit out of your mom's vagina, okay? Now, when that occurs, you start at this place, and then you walk through a series of choices and moments, but you got a little bit more intuition, and things around you are changed, just as a thought experiment again. So let's say, when I die in this life, vibrationally, wherever I ended up, I could create the next one and say, I want to go to a place or create an experience for myself for my next life that doesn't have child cancer or any cancer, to be honest with you, that whenever you die, you just puff out into existence and there's no traumatic death of any kind, right? You still would value life, but there's no need to experience traumatic death for anything on the planet, right? You wouldn't need to consume something else to create energy for yourself. It would be more of an osmosis thing. So nothing, plants, animals, anything wouldn't, you know, need to die for your survival. Now, you could do that as a choice option of experience, but it wouldn't be necessary. So, so maybe you just keep creating a better life, and you're basically like a god in training. And so every lifetime that you start the new one at, you just create something different. And so it's augmented in a little way, but it's always kind of earth and got gravity and got, you know, waterfalls and shit, because you're creating from the perception of the life you have now. So this is your template on which you can dream. Now, some people can really project and dream, and maybe you can create an awesome, super dope world that's completely different than this one, but you have this as a reference point. But I would think that you would just kind of keep making changes and edits to this, and then render a new earth to hop into an experience.
Fuck yeah, man. Are you guys taking notes out there? There will be a quiz at the end. Are you high yet? Are you guys high yet? Okay. All right. I'm going to take a break and go into the chat here for a second, see what everybody's saying here. S. Lee says, lick it up, the experience in the earth. It's the experience. Yep, you're right. Crystal Dawn experienced her own Freaky Friday situation 2 times.
What?
But me and the other person agreed to go back to our own body. Yep, 2 times. All right, Crystal, email me, and we're going to have to talk about this one. Let's see what else we got. The movie we're in sucks. I want a refund. Me too. Well, you know what? I don't think I do.
No,
I think I'm having a good time,
man. We can help
you
with that. Who is that? Yeah. I can help.
Michael,
email me.
Michael Shelmadine. Email Brandon. He'll
email me, expandingrealitypodcast.com. I can help you with that.
He'll give you
That's
some sexy thoughts
I got
right there.
Covered. Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Celestial Oracle. There are definitely forces trying to keep this earth in lower vibration.
Right?
Possibly so. I think I'd have to agree with that. Well, let's talk about not negative forces. Let's talk about entities unseen to some, but seen to some others that could be around us at all times. I have fucking Bigfoot in the title, so we're going to have to get to these guys. Bigfoot, cryptids, you know, any types of beings that are in this category that, you know, could be extraterrestrial, could be supernatural, could be a hallucination, could be too much drugs. I don't know. Let's get into it, though. What do you think about these cryptid beings?
I think cryptids are cool as shit. I think also I so of course serendipitously we're doing this today. Yesterday I early released an episode that'll be out on all platforms on Friday, but it's out on the website now, called "The Last Dinosaur of the Lost World" with an author named Ben Tejada Ingram, and he tells the story about the top of Angel Falls. There's a plateau up there that's 5 miles tall, I think, something like that, 5,000 feet, and then it's 257 square mile plateau that's just like super uninhabitable by humans. It's crazy. There's an expansive amount of abundance in forest or jungle, really. It's to get to Angel Falls, it's like a 4-day boat ride from the nearest city, and then you have to take a helicopter to go to the top of it. So there's a cryptid up there that this guy says this archaeologist has flown over with a helicopter, gotten a picture of. There's also a hermit from Latvia, and that's pretty interesting because this hermit from Latvia was like this crazy explorer in his own right. He tells stories of these like 3-foot beings that took him down into a cave in this inner world. He also then told about a fox that everybody said, no, there's no fox there like that. And then they found it years after his death. It was exactly in the area he said. So there's a lot of mysticism around this Latvian hermit that lives up in this area of Angel Falls in Venezuela. So there's this cryptid, though, that he's reported that, again, this archaeologist, Jose Pierre Gomez, I believe, took a photo of. He's a helicopter pilot and everything. So it's this mini Nessie. It's like a little Nessie, like Loch Ness. So it's a plesiosaur. So it's got the long neck, the flippers, but it's like 3 feet or not, you know, it's not very big. It's like a little seal or something, but it's got the damn, you know, long neck and stuff. This just carnivorous, you know, plesiosaur, this aquatic cryptid. And they've gotten photos, they've got eyewitness testimony on it, but there's this huge cave system under there. I forget the damn name of the cave system. Anyway, all this is like look upable, or just check out the episode on the website. Like I said, he's great. Y'all love him. And but there's this cave system down there that's like millions and millions of years old. It's like the oldest quartz cave on the planet. So there has to be creatures that live there. Also, this uninhabited place on the top of Angel Falls. This is where Sir Arthur Conan Doyle got the inspiration for The Lost World, was this mesa, this place, right? So it's, I absolutely think this crazy stuff. And I mean, I've driven around up in, Washington State and Oregon, and you're like, how could a Bigfoot hide out here? But then you go there and you're like, oh, hell yeah, I could totally see how shit could hide out in here. It is crazy. So I'm all about the cryptids, man. I think absolutely there's something else out there. Now that splinters into a few, like, what are they?
Yeah. Let's kind of focus on Bigfoot for a second, because you're just mentioning that he could hide out somewhere. Well, there are many that opinion that he doesn't need to hide out, that he can either shift some kind of frequency or he has access to portals. There have been some freaky ass stories when it comes to Bigfoot. People I've interviewed myself that I believe that they believe their story wholeheartedly. What actually happened, I don't know. Bigfoot's carrying orbs. Like I said, Bigfoot's coming in and out of portals associated with UFOs, disappearing right in front of people. I don't know. What's your thought on these guys?
And Grays, especially. Ben Tejada Ingram had a Bigfoot encounter that he reports in the episode. So I absolutely agree. I think they could be either just hidden hominids. I think that they're more than that. I really do. Or Ben thinks that they could be, just his theory, is that they could be these like hominids or whatever, but they have some psychic ability that we don't. And so they can actually physically manipulate us, but they're like part of the animal kingdom just like us. They just have something unlocked in them to where they can make us see them or not. They could be standing there and disappear. That's why they can walk around corners, be gone. So portals, yes. Maybe they can just do some sort of camouflage, you know, some sort of psychic camouflage on you to make you just, they're instantly invisible. That's like the best survival, you know, adaptation in nature ever, is just to become invisible whenever you want. So and it would also, though, you'd have to think about the heat camera, you know, the heat vision element of it. And so how would they hide from that? Well, maybe then it gets a little more woo. I like the portals idea. I have heard stories of them running around with, you know, Grays and Pleiadians. There was this awesome story I heard on the great show Mysterious Universe, I think a couple years ago. They were talking about this guy saying that he was visited by extraterrestrials, but they were Pleiadians. And so they looked superhuman-like and all that. And then they had this box sitting out in the middle of a field. And one of them, like, exploded or something like that. And then they sent the Bigfoot down there to walk down there with another box and he set it down, and then they told him to stand there, and they blew it up. So they, like, do these goofy things with them to where they're either these big old goobers that just don't understand stuff, kind of like a Chewie but super strong, you know, in Star Wars. But I don't know. I think there's something mystic to these things. I mean, what's your thoughts on it? Because there's so many rabbit holes with Bigfoot alone.
Man, I don't know. I'm thinking that I think you're spot on, actually. There is something that they either have evolved to be able to do or always had an ability to, whether it's a connection to other dimension or just an ability to, you know, that you hear the stories of the Glimmer Man entities that look like the Predator, just an ability to cloak themselves, who knows? But I think there's definitely more to just our reality and a connection with these beings than we could ever understand. And Crystal Dawn says, the Dogmen stories are exploding. I'm aware. You listen to the confessionals and Tony Merkel.
Oh yeah,
he's got some amazing stories about dogmen coming out right now. It's like I'm on the edge of my seat listening to some of this shit. And I know he's making a documentary about it, so I can't wait. I'm trying to get him back on, but I know he's super busy. But dogmen stories are fucking creepy, and there's so much to it. There's some weird high strangeness behind some of that stuff.
Dude, it's insane, and I love all of it. Now, here's another thing to cryptids, though. What if it's just like tulpas? What if they're just like created thought forms to where they're manifestations of our reality? I mean, people say this about UFOs and ETs as well. It's not as fun, but it's kind of crazy. So if you think that these are just psychosemantic co-collective creations of our consciousness, right? So everyone kind of knows the story of Bigfoot, therefore there's a Bigfoot. But at one point, somebody just had a story. Maybe, you know, Australopithecus was running around or one of these ancient hominoids and someone saw it and they were like, oh man. And this gets passed down in the DNA or the psyche or the oral tradition of people. And so therefore it constantly manifests. You know, again, maybe there's this thing and then they re-manifest it. Like, people are finding new things that they thought were gone all the time. And maybe it's just because they re-manifested it. You know, the simulation re-rendered that creature after a little while because they thought of it. So there's this idea that you're always kind of just creating right in front of you and that the universe is just being created as we go. And that the only, you know, I was talking to somebody about this and I said, oh, well, maybe that's the only reason we have a future is because remote viewers, you know, give us an option of a future. So therefore it's this carrot on a stick thing to where if you could picture reality as all of us as one consciousness, but all together, and we're all holding some huge flashlight that only shines a little bit in front of us, you know what I mean? And so as we change or shift direction, we move that flashlight and we're able to illuminate and see other things. But the things that we're seeing, we're creating. So it's this interesting kind of like collective shine on the universe that we're doing. This also could be, though, how, again, UFOs exist. Maybe someone came up with a story one time or it's planted in the psyche to manifest in this place as something mysterious, or like it's, you know, bio in nature and it's just inner earth shit that's just super awesome and mysterious. And there's way cooler things going on here. And we're just kind of like rats living on the top of a roof rather than inside the inner earth or inside the house like we should be. That's where all the cool shit is, you know? Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Yesterday, I had Dr. Gregory Little on the show, and he told a fascinating story about a Native American man who had experiences with what he called the little blue people. And the way he described them, just little blue people, kind of look like gray aliens, but kind of not. They look different. Their eyes weren't the same. They're about 3-4 foot tall, spindly, and very blue. And they were trickster entities. And, you know, they'd kind of visit him and, you know, act like they were going to poke him or tickle him and just do all kinds of weird things. But once you got past the trickster elements of these guys, they gave profound esoteric knowledge, knowledge of the universe, knowledge of yourself, and they could be very helpful in your journey. And it makes me think of all the people who are channeling different entities, you know, people that claim in they're talking to, you know, Ra or some kind of, you know, ancient god, and they're getting all this information. Well, how do you know for sure that this is who you're speaking with, first of all, and the information isn't BS? We have tons of people that are considered amazing channelers, people who are amazing ET contactees, spiritual channelers that get amazing information, But some of it turns out not to be real or conflicting or not true or true but different for different aspects. So it makes me wonder if, you know, some of the entities that are communicating with us and giving us profound information and insights about our reality are just tricksters that you have to get past a certain level, maybe pass some tests with these guys before they give you the real shit, you know?
Absolutely. I kind of look at this like a ride, okay? And so let's say that as these things pop up in your life, you're on this moving linear track of time. And as you're experiencing, things are popping up, you're making decisions, and that kind of guides everything. But there are little elements of it that are here. They're stuck here. They're part of the experience. And so these could be these voices or these intuitions or these, they masquerade as entities, but really, again, it's you. It's part of the experience. Their role here is to present information to you at a specific time in that ride. Like at Six Flags or whatever, there'll be like a cannon go off like at a certain part of the ride. Well, that's like when you got contacted with the Pleiadians. That's when that happened, and that really shifted your trajectory and your perception. You know, that it enhanced your experience of the ride that you're on because that part of it existed. So these are things that it could be just orchestrated out, and these entities visit you. They're like, you know, in some other dimension as you come up to, you know, I don't know, meet someone in reality, and they're back there, and they're just like, smoking a cigarette or something. They're like, oh shit, he's there now, I gotta go. And then they pop into this body and they make this huge impression on you, and they're like, ah, yeah, and this changed the course of your life, and you needed to have that moment. And this experience that you had was super profound, and that could be the role of these entities. I really have been looking at this place differently, to where I don't see it as evil and against you. I see it as necessary for growth. And so when you look at it like it is a play, and like we're all playing roles here, the villain and the hero go out and bow at the end. You know, there's this, you know, harmonious dance that they both do, but both are necessary to have the experience that we're having here. So if you look at it that way, negative entities and stuff like that, I kind of would transmute that into saying it's part of the experience, it's part of the ride, it's part of the play, and I'm just excited to be interacting with something like this. I think this is super cool as a possibility, and that's kind of how I look at this. Now, if it's anything other than that, it's fucking djinn, all of it. I think the whole damn thing could be djinn. If you're saying blue skin, that's djinn, man. And, you know, if you think about it, they could shapeshift into anything. They're timeless. They're pissed off that they're not human. They fuck with us constantly. They are the opposites to us, you know, in the lore. And again, they can do anything. So they can present themselves as UFOs, as Bigfoot, as anything. And if that's the case, then it's this deep tapestry woven by this one group of entities that's fucking with all of us.
And Crystal Dawn in the chat mentions the djinn. Right before you were saying that, actually, she says some are good and some, not all, are bad. I don't know. Reality, yeah. But if they're guardians of our reality and part of this, it's, you know, and it's all a dualistic nature, they can't be really good or bad, right? You know?
Right. I look at this as kind of like a school, you know, again, or just like a Westworld, like there's actors here, they're playing a role. They're all necessary in it. So whenever they fuck with you or they do something like that, it's for a reason. It's like a staff, you know, for the place, for the thing running the program that we're in. It's their staff. And therefore, they can put on any costume they want. They can play any role that they want here. They can manipulate energy in a way because they run the shit. And so, again, it's kind of all a Westworld thing. You get to pick. Do you want to be a piece of shit, or do you want to, like, be cool and help people? And you get to choose red, you know, black hat, white hat. You get to pick your experience. But there's a dance, there's a crowd going on here. There's a group of entities and handlers that are just creating this experience for you as you walk through it, you know, based on what you want to experience with it. And that goes really far.
It's like they're employees or, you know,
exactly.
The algae eaters. Everybody has a certain job. Yeah, everybody has a certain job in this reality. Had Lindsay Sharman the other day. She made a great point. She was making this point exactly, that all these entities, you know, they may not be good or bad, but they're just serving a purpose. Say, like, right, there is a succubus that feeds off of sexual energy. But, well, what if he wasn't there? Would you explode with sex? Would you try to, you know, have sex with everything around if the succubus?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's interesting.
it would lead you to cut your dick off. And we spent a lot of time travel energy on making sure that we didn't do that. Yes.
Please don't cut your dicks off.
Callback, yeah. So I'm right there with you. It's like an employee is the best damn way to put that. And what's so interesting about it is really, if you look at the world this way, it is so cool. It's so much fun. I've gotten just so much joy and reverence out of knowing that it's just this way. And that's honestly the most comfortable thing I've had. Is, yeah, unity consciousness thing, we got that. But what, you know, mechanism is this? What is this thing? I really kind of lean more toward this as some sort of just, again, Hogwarts or something, where you're learning about your powers. You're a god in training. You know, that's what this place is. So when you look at it that way, yes, there are djinn here that can manipulate energy. And then if you think about it as a god, you know, you're given this set of rules, or a god in training, I'll put it that way. You're given this set of rules with this place, and you're told that the speed of light is the fastest thing. You know, that's the speed limit in a vacuum. And it's like, it's not true. You know, that's not true at all. So there are a lot of things here that you're told this is what it is, but you are here to discern what is right, what is wrong for you. And again, that's subjective. You get to pick, because there's still that. So you get to pick what god you want and what avenues you want. And you do this through physical experience. You know, this is how you learn. Is the greatest way to explain it. So in this way, again, you just kind of take the seriousness out of it, you know, and just go, ah, okay, I will enjoy 420 with Chris Matthew, and we're just going to hang out and talk about dope shit.
For sure. Oh, and speaking of, are you guys all high yet? I hope so. All right, we're entering the last lap here, and I think we're going to lose a few of you on this one. But I hope not, because this topic, this last topic we're about to get into, it divides people. It gets people worked up, gets people emotional for some reason, and they argue about it a lot. But I don't want to argue about it. I want to have a cool, fun discussion about it, about what the hell we're on here. Is it a ball floating in space? Do we believe our traditional space model? Or is it flat? Is it a pizza? Is it a realm? Is it a simulation? Is it a video game from an alien? Who knows? I know I for surely do not know. But I do not wish to argue with anyone about it. I find it fascinating the points that flat earthers make. I find it fascinating that astrophysicists and astrologers will not come out and kind of rebuke these thoughts and theories. And I find it very interesting that we cannot get one real image or set of footage or anything from NASA, and they never have. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave us with the nature of our reality?
This is the one, right? This is, Chris,
I hope we don't lose you guys.
No, this is going to be great. Watch. If you've ever just even thought flat earthers are crazy, well, I agree with you. But here's the thing. What I think about this is, first and foremost, NASA stands for, of course, we all know, never a straight answer. And it's actually Hebrew for to deceive. So that all is fun. But the lies that NASA portrays was my kind of first thing into this. I'd heard the flat earth argument. I think flat earthers... like anyone, right? You get this in UFO, you get this encrypted, you get in everything. In the face of the thing, it's the loudest one, and they make it look the craziest and all that good stuff. But when you really sit down, there's some wonderful researchers out there that have done some awesome things. And yeah, to what you said, nobody's taken David Weiss up on his, what is it, 3 bitcoins or a bitcoin that he's willing to give away if anyone can solve. I mean, he has like 12 points or something. He's got it all very laid out. It's very well thought out. David Weiss is awesome. So the thing is if... this place is a ball, and if it is what they say that it is, then they, you know, spend a lot of energy and time attempting to prove that to you, but it's clearly fake. So that's the question. It's like, what are they lying about? And so if they are lying, then which part of it are they lying about? Are they just lying about that we're, you know, that we don't have a secret space program and that it's out there and they're kind of covering it up in this goofy way and that's why things are really orchestrated and kind of shitty? Or is it because we live on a flat plane and the thing above us is actually, you know, a dome of some sort of energetic, really, and that's what the Van Allen radiation belts are, something like that? And that there's the moon isn't a place to go to because it's a luminary body that's in a two-dimensional thing and the moon in itself is crazy. That's a whole different thing. You know, so then your mind just goes with it. So we know if this is not what's real, then what is real, right? And that's where we find ourselves, right? I know I have my flag again planted in any direction, but I love talking about that this is not a ball spinning through Earth. I think that is way cooler, and not because of the dome thing. And you know, I've talked about this, dude. It's the extra land stuff, dude.
Yes.
Extra land.
That's the best.
That Oh, that to me is the coolest. And that's a whole nother thing, too. So the shape of the Earth, and again, this game or these employees here kind of present a world to you. But the further down these roads that you go, you realize that the authoritarian figures in your life, you've actually had a really toxic relationship with this whole time. And so whenever they tell you something, maybe some of it's true, maybe some of it's not, but it makes you question everything when you wake up to kind of the abuses of the government and, you know, the church and the, again, the ego structures that are here that are necessary, you know, like some people in public schools. I mean, all these dense systems that really work environments as well, just that kind of break you down. And so they're here to act as motivational cues for you, the actor, to get your shit together because you're the hero in your story and you need to snap out of this fucking vibration. And these systems are here to teach you this is an option for you. You go through it, you feel like shit, you wake up, you don't anymore. And you know that's always an option. It's, yeah, it's over there. I could see it. I'm not doing that anymore. So the shape of the Earth is very important on this. It could be a toroidal field. You could just be, again, this, you know, flat plane idea. But the fact that they're so loud about it is what makes me question it in the first place. And then, of course, the compelling evidence from flat earthers when they can just calm down enough to tell me about it without yelling at me, right?
Yes, man. And the extra land thing. That just makes me want to find this goddamn land. Where is it? And the thought that aliens could be coming from there and we're just trapped in this one little tiny section, you know, roped off by whatever. And there's just endless land and extra beings and extraterrestrials, interdimensional beings, whatever. I don't know. But that's super interesting to me. That's one of my new favorites.
100%. And again, when you take the compelling evidence of flat earthers and then they have these really cool mock-ups of how this would function and what it would look like, and it's actually incredibly cool. And then you look at flight patterns. Again, I'm not a proponent for flat earth. I'm just saying, think about it, just without going, yeah, this was crazy, and then moving on. Just think about it. It's very, very interesting. And the flat earth thing, just let your mind go. If you could talk about aliens and cryptids and shit, think about this place being a flat plane with these rings here with extra land everywhere, and that maybe the Pleiadians are coming from there, and they're not going to tell you that because they don't want you to know, because in this place, in this earth, this realm that we're in, this area of this system, everyone, whenever they come here, it's like customs. Like everybody knows, okay, you got to tell these people that it's a ball and that you're coming from a star. I know it sounds crazy, guys. I know it sounds crazy. Hear me out. You're coming from a star. Yes. Which is, yeah, it's hurling through space. Yep. And it looks like that. And they give like these visual representations and you have to check a box saying, okay, I'll make sure that people think I'm from there and I'll keep this story going when I interact with these beings that I'm coming, you know, with my family on vacation or something. Maybe it's something like that. And they have to uphold this story, you know, that we're a ball hurling through space. Maybe everybody's on board with it. I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, time travelers would want you to know that anyway, because they wouldn't want you to know time travel is possible.
Yeah, and while we're kind of examining what's out there, what's beyond, I think I talked to you about this last time, but I have the guy's name. I did a show with a gentleman named Nick Hayes, and he takes infrared photography of the sky. Yes. And he has caught amazing, amazing things with just switching the types of film he uses. And he's a professional camera. He's a professional photographer. I have no idea what he's doing, but he does know what he's doing. And he made a great presentation. This was last year on Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm trying to get him back on soon. He's a busy man. But what came out in the pictures, no one could see with their naked eye. But what you saw in the film was things like amoebas in the sky and what looked like jellyfish and other types of fish and entities. And not only that, ships, things that looked like craft, floating along there with skyfish. So it's fascinating to think that all this stuff could be up there or around us at all times, just beyond the spectrum of our vision. And guys, I really recommend going check that out. His name's Nick Hayes. The stuff he got in the sky was phenomenal. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. It looked like a squid or a jellyfish or a whale just floating through the sky in an infrared spectrum. It was quite beautiful, really. So that, you know, where does that leave us? What the hell is going on just beyond the spectrum of our vision? And is there like plasma in the sky? Is that what's beyond our, you know, our reach in the skies? I don't know.
I love this. I absolutely love this because, yes, So people have also talked about like those blobs, you know, falling from the sky. I know you've probably seen these, like they're potato sized blobs or whatever, but that's like goo, you know, and some people have photographed entities up in like whales that are kind of swimming through clouds and shit up there. It's like, what is going on or in this upper part of the atmosphere? So, because there's still like a place to go up there. There's just, I think it's above, it's where the Van Allen radiation belts are. Wherever that is a barrier for us in some way. Now, if it's plasma, that's super dope. There's this guy that has this awesome channel on YouTube, and it's about the plasma apocalypse. Like, that's what he talks about 100%, and it's super cool. And this idea is that this thing breaks, kind of like in the flood, and basically is allowed to open in a certain spot for a certain amount of time. This may be instigated from something in this place as well. And then it floods this plasma in and kind of just cleans everything off, and like a reset occurs, and then we come back in. And maybe some things stay here, kind of like Tartaria or the mud flood, or some things you find later, like some megalithic sites. What was the other one I was thinking about? Oh, like Devil's Tower. You know, like all those huge trees. They think those were ancient trees that were massive tree stumps. And they find them all over the world. So if this is true, then this would be like a totally different environment here that maybe got scalded by plasma at some point, reset, and then now we get our time here. And then this whole place, you know, this realm is like rentable from another dimension. And you just kind of like drop your species or your experiment here. You do whatever you're doing. Maybe we're, again, this alien hybrid program. Some aliens rented it out for the weekend for them. And really for us, it's millions of years or whatever. They create this environment for us. They do whatever the hell they want. They have their hybrids, and they have this little environment, and then they come through the plasma apocalypse, wipe clean, reset, and then, you know, somebody else comes and just uses it for paintball. I don't know.
Hey,
it's like speed dating. You know, we only get a certain amount of time here.
Well, that's a dark one to end on, but it's a fun one. No. Let's end on this. So what if there is evidence, obvious evidence, that there's been multiple cataclysms throughout our history on the planet that possibly could have wiped out large portions of the population and caused a massive reset? There's really evidence of this. Many scientists aren't really disputing that one. So, you know, what the cause is and all this, that's a different story. But what if the powers in control, you know, the middle management of whatever's going on here, they are quite aware that we are overdue for the next cataclysm. And that's, you know, hence everything that's happened in the past couple of years, trying to do a reset, you know, the great reset, which is really about getting people, you know, maybe closer in the cities, closer to the coasts, because they know, a 100-foot tidal wave is going to wipe out every... I don't know. It's a thought that possibly they already have their plans made to where they are... This great reset is a reset of everything, and they're going to start their whole, their idea of utopia after this cataclysm.
I think that's an option. Absolutely. Now, the chronic optimist in me, though, knows this is the point in the story where we all get our shit together. This is the montage, you know, where everything's super dramatic and all that good stuff. And then now we're all discovering our powers. We're coming together. We're connecting stronger than ever. And now we know what we have to do. Again, these are employees here, as I view it. I think that they are part of the experience to wake you up. They're here to go, hey, this option is what you have, but that kind of sucks, right? So here's what you do have. Maybe there's something you'd like to create instead. And this is our opportunity to go, you know what? Yeah, instead of option A, we're going to go create our own thing. And this is kind of where we are. So they have these extremes, you know? And so it's like this energetic shift. Again, back to the Matrix, because that movie is a lot deeper than, you know, a lot of people know. Usually it's a movie. Very deep concepts in that. Smith is talking to Morpheus, and he, you know, pulls his earpiece out, and he hates being in the Matrix. So maybe these employees are kind of like doing, you know, the great resignation of their own, and they're like, we're done working for these assholes. We're over this shit. You guys hurry up and wake up. We're going to help you do it and figure out the game. You know, this is like a escape room, and they're just kind of giving us the hints. They're like, okay, but the hints are, don't choose this, just choose something else. You guys create it. It's going to be better than this. You know, here's your option. So maybe it's something like that. I mean, again, these are options. I think that when you're presented with something, it's for two reasons, because the employees are not the manifestors here. We are. We create the reality. They influence us and whisper in our ear what they want or what the program wants to wake us up. But we inevitably get to make the choice. So whenever they roll things out like that, that's a predictive programming element, because there are way more people that still have this power to manifest that don't realize that they do, that go along with all of the shit. And those are the ones that kind of bring in these, you know, Klaus Anal Schwab wet dreams into existence, where they're like, yeah, we'll manifest that because that's inevitably what they said is going to happen anyway. But it's not the only option. You know, we have the right to create whatever we want. And but when you know that, you just know, just don't create what they want. You just create what you want.
And that's probably why the hero's journey theme in Hollywood and everything that they've put out since the beginning of Hollywood is shifting the global consciousness in that direction. You know, they always have the bad guys as the big corporation in the politics, and the little guys always rise up and fight against the big bad corporates or the big bad aliens that are in charge. And that's been the story through the beginning of time, throughout our media, you know, lifetime. And I think it's just all about preparation, programming, and getting us to that point. You know, what do you think about that?
I think I agree with 100% of everything you just said, and we could just, but you could create whatever you want. So if you're listening to this, just don't do the other thing. Just create what you want. You know, spend more time where you want it, where your attention goes, your energy flows. So whatever you're paying attention to, make sure you're mindful of that, because this is a very powerful time for creation and manifestation. Astrologically look at it. There's energetically, human resonance wise, you can feel it. You can feel the numbers of people that are, you know, switching on right now and realizing that we're in a play and that we're now creating what we want. So you can feel this. So take advantage of that. Be very mindful with what you want. You know, instead of, I just may offer this as a suggestion. I would never tell anybody what to do. But instead of playing the what if, you know, what's the worst that could happen game, play what's the best that can happen game. And you basically just shift your perception into, you know, just think of it as the options that you want, rather than, you know, building bridges you're never going to cross, you know, or borrowing trouble, as we say in Texas. Don't worry about shit that hadn't happened yet, because you don't have to create that. You just create what you want by, again, what you said earlier, going inside. Completely agree.
For sure, man. And we're going to have to get into some astrological aspects next time, because astrology is fascinating, and the connections to everything in our reality can be dictated through astrology. And that's a whole nother show that we could get into, man. But this was great, brother. Thank you so much for coming on today. I had a great time. I'm sure the audience had a great time. We had a banging chat today. Before you go, let everyone know where they can find all your content, social media, all that good stuff.
Firstly, of course, I wasn't privy to the chat, so thank you everyone in chat, and thank you all for hanging out, and thank you for listening. Chris, thanks again for having me, dude. I really appreciate it. ExpandingRealityPodcast.com. Boom, pow. That's all you need. It links to everything else. The store lives are replayed there. Too Hot for YouTube. The YouTube stuff just keeps falling off, so I just keep adding it to the Too Cool for You, Too Hot for YouTube. All free, guys. Go check it out. ExpandingRealityPodcast.com. And thanks again, brother.
Awesome, man. That was awesome. And, you know, we'll definitely be talking again soon. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening. We'll talk again tomorrow.